Congress finished wrestling with the budget this week, and it might seem the budget won. Democrats took control in January, promising to reform the way Congress spends money. But when the House and Senate finally cranked out this year's spending bill yesterday, it was chock full of earmarks. Here's NPR's Peter Overby.
9,000 earmarks.
9,000 earmarks.
9,000 earmarks. The way the phrase has been echoing around Capitol Hill, it's starting to sound like a folk song for policy wonks.
About 9,000 earmarks and about $7.4 billion worth of earmarks.
Ryan Alexander is president of Taxpayers for Common Sense. The group has made itself the public analyst of this legislative dark art, the spending of taxpayer money on pet projects that a single lawmaker deems to be deserving.
It's not that every project that is funded through an earmark is inherently not worthy of funding, but a lot of those projects, if you look at them on their face, it is hard to believe that they are the highest priority for our spending right now.
For instance, $1.5 million federal dollars for a state highway interchange in Beaumont, California, compliments of Republican Jerry Lewis. Or $1.2 million for the Southwest Pennsylvania Heritage Preservation Commission, courtesy of Democrat John Murtha. And 9,000 earmarks? That's fewer than in years past. Murtha and Lewis are two of the top earmarkers in the House. The Senate earmark champion is Thad Cochran of Mississippi at $750 million, and he's not even in the majority anymore. During this week's debate, Cochran let it be known he's not happy that it's harder to score special funding.
I know the amount is reduced because we hear the protests from our colleagues and from our constituents as well.
This was the year the Democrats vowed to get earmarks under control. They didn't succeed. And it's hard to say how close they got, since the process used to be wrapped in mystery. But they did tear away most of that secrecy, as Senate Majority Whip Richard Durbin, an earmarker himself, was quick to point out.
About 4 inches of the document in front of you consists of complete disclosure on earmarks, the most detailed disclosure in the history of Congress.
Still, the anti-earmark forces have a long way to go. South Carolina Republican Jim DeMint delivered 15 seconds worth of constitutional analysis.
Go back to 1995, 1,400 earmarks. If you go back past there, it were less than that. This is not a constitutional function. It has not been part of the history of the Senate. This growth in earmarks is a perversion of the purpose of this Congress.
Once, earmarks were a privilege of the most powerful lawmakers. Then, early in this decade, the House Majority Leader, Republican Tom DeLay, made them bargaining chips for winning votes. Now, endangered Democratic freshmen are writing earmarks to enhance their odds for re-election.
The Democrats are just as hooked, just as addicted as we are. They're happy to get 60% of the earmarks rather than the 40 they used to get.
That's Republican Congressman Jeff Flake speaking this morning from his home in Mesa, Arizona.
And Republicans have seemed too happy to just go ahead and take our 40 and go home.
Flake and about 15 other Republicans say they're swearing off earmarks and they want their colleagues to stop too.
So many of these earmarks are linked directly to lobbyists who turn around and then contribute money and get their clients to do the same.
So, on the one hand, campaign contributions and the gratitude of voters. On the other hand, more control of federal spending. On Capitol Hill, it's a tough call. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.